Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President of the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. As a reminder, if you would like to learn more about the five levels of leadership, or perhaps even bring a five levels workshop to your organization, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And in addition, if you have a comment or a question for Perry and I, we'd love for you to leave it there and just hear from you. Well, you guys know I like this. This is probably my favorite part of every podcast is when Perry reveals the titles to me. And this one, I'm not sure if he's talking directly to me or not. However, today's topic is Dare to be Dumb, the Power of Questions. You know, this is a big topic for our organization, for John himself, and so much so that he wrote a book about it. Before we get into all of that, though, what drove this title? Where did you come up with?
Yeah, this one was very personal to me. When I first was promoted from being a salesperson to being a first-line manager, to get there, I was making a lot of sales calls, and I made a sales call with, I thought, was the smartest technical salesperson I'd ever met. I mean, if you're a salesperson, you know, if you have a tech salesperson that can go on a call with you, it always makes you look better. I can keep my mouth shut. They do the talking. They're really smart.
Yeah.
But this really smart technical salesperson who knew our product cold in and out, I mean, just really good, asked the customer a question that I did a big double take about. Why? That's like, even I know the answer to this question. I mean, surely this person knows the answer. You're the smartest person I know. I mean, their business card said PhD, and that's where it started. They went down from there with like all these acronyms about how smart they were. And I kept my mouth shut and listened, and the customer started talking and talking. On the way back to the office, we stopped and got a coffee. I said, can I ask you, why did you ask – did you not know the answer to that question? He goes, no, I thought I knew the answer, and I'm pretty sure I knew the answer, but what I realize is that it pays every now and then to just dare to be dumb and ask a question, because if the customer starts talking, I can almost always learn something new that I didn't know.
That's
and
awesome.
It just really struck me that he didn't play that I'm the smartest person in the room. He played, I might could learn something from everybody I meet, and I'm going to dare to be dumb. That was just the phrase he used. I go, I love that. Just take a risk. I might look dumb, but I might learn something. And by the way, what I learned is if the customer's talking, I almost always sell more.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a great story. And she was right. And I'm glad that you learned that at such a young age. Too many of us as leaders, we get away from the ability of understanding the power of asking questions in order to engage others, to get their buy-in, to tap into their ideas. And John teaches a lot about this. And, man, he models it for us, whether we're at a dinner, a client story, or we're in a meeting. It's interesting because it's part of what we need to do as leaders. But yet, if you think about it, we've really never been developed in the ability to ask questions. It's a skill set. Right. And you think about some of the different careers, like a journalist. I was listening to a talk show, and someone said, well, that's a great question. And she said, well, that's what we're trained to do. Yeah. And then it got me thinking, well, as leaders, do we spend enough time training our other leaders, or even training ourselves, to be able to ask really good questions? Here's something I wrote down just thinking about that. So I said, questions are a powerful tool for unlocking the value in an organization. It spurs a couple of things that I was just thinking about, why this is so important. Obviously, it spurs on learning. The exchange of ideas fuels innovation. It fuels performance, and then it builds rapport and trust. The other thing, which is interesting as leaders, one of the things we're always thinking about is how do we mitigate mistakes and or risks. And I think that we have the ability to uncover pitfalls and things that we're not aware of if we will just go about thinking about how to ask questions, the right questions. So John teaches a lot about this. Here's a couple of things that he says, the reasons behind why he teaches this. You only get answers to the questions you ask, right? Questions unlock doors. I just mentioned that a little bit from a risk standpoint. And then here's one other one. Questions cultivate humility. And I love that word when you talk about leaders. You know, you and I both do some training and we're different rooms and they're like, hey, what's the characteristic about a leader, an attribute that you think most of? And most of the time, the room will come back with humility. So I think questions is a great way to do that.
Yeah. Well, my personal experience is that actually I was with a reception, I think with my wife and I at this reception some years ago, and I was just greeting someone, and I asked them a question about what they did, and they started talking, and that I developed this. I think we've talked in other podcasts about developing the leadership skill of curiosity.
Yeah.
So I just you know, my temptation is to talk about me and what I do, because let's face it, that's very important. But only to
it
me.
Is.
But I asked a second question, and I asked a third question, and this person probably of the 9 or 10 minutes we were talking, I probably talked for a minute. He talked for 9 minutes, and when my wife walked up, he said, "I just want to tell you, Perry is such a great communicator." And she goes, "What did you do?" I ask good questions and then listen to the answer. And I find that what you said about John's point about cultivating humility is that I feel like I can make, if I ask good questions and I listen to the answers, I make others feel important.
Yeah.
I make them feel relevant. I make them feel needed.
Yeah.
They're engaged, inviting them to a conversation. And you build this connection with people by allowing them, through your questioning, to engage in the conversation.
Yeah. One of our executive facilitators, Greg Cagle, talks a lot around this topic. When a leader comes into a room and then he or she leaves the room, do you feel like that individual was the smartest person in the room, or do they leave the room and you feel like, my goodness, like I added so much value, I might be the smartest person in the room? And he says, really think about it, jokingly aside, think about it, which leader has a greater impact? And really that's driven around the power to ask questions. But a lot of times we don't do that, right? Because as leaders, we want to have all the answers. We don't want to appear like we don't know what's going on. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times maybe we haven't even been taught in the skill set of leading people in the EQ side of things, like some other like journalists or litigators or doctors. What? So I wrote down four things that I was thinking about. What are reasons, in addition to just not knowing the answer, would we potentially not ask questions for it?
That's so the first one. If all this is so positive, why do we struggle with it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, here's four of them. And you can just think about maybe, you know, what is it that that maybe you struggle with if you don't ask enough questions? First one is, and just being candid, maybe there's an egocentric problem, right? Which is, I'm going to impress you on what I know. Right. And that's when you walk in the room and you're just the one talking and you're wanting to continue to tell people what you know. And then you leave the room and they're like, wow, that was the smartest guy I've ever met. Or the second one, maybe you're just apathetic. Maybe you don't even care enough to hear the other person's answers. So you don't go about the process of actually asking the questions because you could just really care less. You're apathetic to learning something new, to hearing their answers. The third one I wrote down was maybe you're just overconfident as a leader. You already know. This is kind of the first one that we talked about kicking off. And then finally, maybe you just you think you're going to ask the wrong questions. Like it's not relevant. Like you didn't hear the proper context. And you don't want to seem incompetent. And so you're just like, yeah, I'm going to ask the wrong question, so I'm not going to ask anything at all. And so those are a couple of things. In addition to us just kind of, hey, seeming weak and not having all the answers as a leader, that I think leaders at time have a tendency not to ask questions.
Right. No, I love that. And I'm reflecting in my own life as I've grown in this area that I went from being kind of me-focused to being others-focused and realizing as a leader, I think my number one job is to connect with everybody in my circle of influence.
Yeah.
And, John teaches that a lot about it. Everybody communicates, but are you connecting with people?
That's right.
And if I'm just communicating, it's usually one way, a lot of one way from me versus connecting. And it reminds me, we've talked here before maybe once or twice about Liz Wiseman's work on Are You a Genius or a Genius Maker? And I'm thinking about that when you're talking about being the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. Am I trying to act like the genius because my people on my team expect me to be the genius, and I'm always stepping up to show you that I'm the genius
right.
and diminishing, as Liz says, diminishing the capabilities of people? Or can I actually engage you and make you the genius and draw out of you that collective smarts of our team and be the genius maker, which then she says multiplies the capability. So I think we tend to want to look good, but that's not going to help me have a team of highly engaged workers and teammates working together for the common good. I'm going to diminish them. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, in that, you talk about the multipliers. One of the things you've talked about in the past is, what are you doing as a leader to step back in order for your team to step up? This is a great example. Questions allow you to hear the perspective of everybody that's at the table. And when you're open to their perspective, then you're going to get their buy-in. Sometimes we talk about when you're leading and connecting with people at level two, and I think the power of questions really, really falls into level two and level three, right? But at level two, we talk about the values, and we say, now I'm going to use the word value a lot here, but just hang with me.
Okay.
When an individual knows that something they value is valued by the organization, they value the organization and that leader to a higher extent.
Right.
So I think it's the same thing with perspective. Even if, when we talk a lot about alignment and agreement, even if we leave the room, we're not completely in agreement, but we are all in alignment, that happens because you are able to allow everybody to use their perspective in a meeting. So so anyways, I think that the ability to have them step up, I think not only, you know, multiplies, to her word, the talent, the deliverable of the team, but it gets their buy-in for whatever direction you're moving, because at least they had that voice.
All right. Well, I require everybody on my team to, when you come to a call, a meeting, a face-to-face or on the phone, you better have a point of view.
Yeah.
And because I value that. You know, I'm going to ask you the questions around what it is you think. I said something a minute ago. I want to get your feeling for it, though, because I kind of just threw it by you. But this word curiosity, if you ask me what makes a great questioner, how do you develop great questions? It has a natural sense of curiosity. In the leadership world, it's been spoken about quite a bit recently about leaders with curiosity. But I wondered, how do you see that as a leadership competency? Where does curiosity fit in a leader's journey?
Yeah, so I think curiosity shows that you're interested in hearing what others have to say more than just what you're thinking or what you have to say. So you do that through observation. You also do it through questions. You know, I threw the word observation in there because we talk about, you know, leadership is a visual sport, and you need to be watching as much as you're listening, because a lot of times you'll just get the little gab from your team. But I think that this allows us to do that other than, and I think people have curiosity today, but you know how they answer it? They answer it by talking to Siri or going to Google, and they just ask one question. Right. And so I started thinking about that, and I was like, okay, so when I'm curious about something, so I was watching a sporting event last night, and I was curious about, and so I just Googled it, and there's my answer.
Right.
And I thought, how many times do I do that in a work environment and maybe lean towards having technology answer it for me versus having my team answer it for me? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, like that just kind of was like, I probably ought to make sure that I'm being curious not only in my self-development and looking for the answer in technology, but doing it in and through my team.
Right, so, right. Well, I know just in personal experiences, sometimes I'm just not comfortable not having the answer. I think I'm like a lawyer. I never ask a question if I don't know the answer already. Well, this is not like a lawyer. This is like a leader.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's okay not to have the answer.
Totally okay.
Or there might be a different answer than the one I have. I heard Brene Brown say once, talking about, she's in for however long it takes to get to the heart of the problem. I don't have to know the answers to say the right thing. I just have to keep listening and keep questioning. And I just think for me, when I heard that, I thought, yes, that sometimes leaders just need to get comfortable with the discomfort of not having the answers, but be willing to work with others to find the answers.
Yeah,
and if I just had that mentality, that mindset, that it's okay I do have an answer. I almost always have an answer.
Yeah.
Is it the right answer? I don't know.
Yeah.
Curiosity, asking great questions, drawing on the collective intelligence of the team might make it a better answer if I can just get to the question.
Yeah, and so this just brings me back to your title, right, that you kind of rolled out to us, which you learned at a young age, which is, hey, dare to be dumb. Like, I dare you to be comfortable with being dumb, which will change your mindset around the power of asking questions of your team. And I think if you do that, there's two words that come to mind when I think about that. You show vulnerability and you show authenticity. And let's just be honest, right? We talk about this and have in the past. Your team knows what their leader doesn't know,
right?
And so John talks about that, like, from a different skill set. Right. And so they already know. And so what I want to challenge you to do is think in a term of authenticity and think in a term of being vulnerable with your team. And when you do that, the culture and the cohesiveness and the transparency that will allow you as a team to go to the next level will just, I promise you, it'll have, you know, fuel poured on that.
Right. Fire. Well, I know that we often say that the number one retention tool for most folks is that they feel valued.
Yeah.
I feel valued to you, the leader. I feel valued to the organization. I'm not probably going to go anywhere. I'll probably work for less money. If I feel valued, I'm in. And I find that questions is a great way for me to increase my ability to connect, I already said, but increase your value in your eyes that I value you. I'm asking you something. And have you ever been, if you've given a speech or in front of a group and you say, are there any questions? And there's no hands, no question. It's just silence. How does that make you feel, more valued or less valued?
Right.
And I was laughing because I sometimes speak to nonprofits or school groups. And so I went to this friend of mine runs a nonprofit. And he said, will you come speak to these teenagers, about 50, 60 teenagers? Could you do a little leadership lesson? I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So I get there, nice audience, good-looking kids all in this audience. I do my 30, 45 minutes of lesson. And I say, well, that's all I have today. Are there any questions? And I'm going to tell you, 55 hands went up at the exact same time. I almost fell off the stage. It blew me away. And they had set it up a bit by he had trained them to this point that anytime you're listening to someone, anytime you're in a one-on-one or one-on group, that you should always be formulating a question in your mind. I thought, now, did every one of those 55 kids have a question? Or did they just throw their hand up? I don't know. I called on several. He had told the other speakers that this was going to happen. He didn't tell me because we were friends and
That's
he wanted
awesome.
To see my response. But he said, just take two or three and then tell them that we're out of time. But he told every person, be prepared with a question. And I take that. Where I came to deliver the message, I took that message and say, every time I'm listening to someone on a conference call, in a boardroom, in the meeting, in a team meeting, somebody else is talking, be thinking, what could I ask this person? One, to help solidify it in my mind. Two, to make them feel that I was listening. Three, makes them feel important and increases those active listening skills.
That's a great story and the exact opposite of what I experienced this week, by the way. I was with a large organization, got done with about an hour and a half interaction, and I said, you know, any questions?
Crickets.
And there's the pregnancy pause, as John says. I was like, I'm so sorry. I think I just wasted your time, right? Yeah. They all started laughing, and then I got one question from the gentleman that brought me there. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, is it potato salad?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Oh, when's lunch?
Yeah.
Hey, so, okay. So, wrapping up, here's a couple things I wrote down from our conversation that just kind of as we close, I want to give you some call to action, some thoughts here. So, by asking questions, we naturally improve our emotional intelligence, okay, which in turn will make us better questioners.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a cycle. Yeah. And we talk so much about the 85% of the time as a leader needs to be focused on the EQ side of leading people. And so questions will take you there. Even if you don't like people and you don't want to build relationships, ask questions. As leaders, man, let's start ending fewer sentences with a period and more with question marks. And then we talked just briefly about how this is kind of a level two and a level three skill set, developing that competency in order to set that foundation. Asking a lot of questions unlocks learning and improves the interpersonal bonding with those that you're leading. And then finally, just back to your title, which is great because I'm now going to go home and tell my wife, it's okay, I'm going to be dumb. I'm going to dare to be dumb. And so I challenge you as a leader, just dare to be dumb. Your team already knows that you're probably a little dumb. So, but that's good.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for joining us. It's always a pleasure to bring a message. If you'd like to learn more about our work with the five levels of leadership or even potentially have a five levels workshop at your location, you can always find us at johnmaxwellcompany.com. www.thebusinessbookshop.com/podcast. And as Chris said earlier, if you have a question or a comment, want more information, you can do it for it. Get it from us there. Have a great day. Thanks. This has been the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.